Hey, it's Don Coscarelli, filmmaker. I just wrote a book. Check it out. It's called Fiction, Tales from the World of Phantasm. And it can teach you all the things that you never knew about the Phantasm film series. A lot of interesting stuff. Horror, violence, not much sex. Check it out. Now available on Amazon, paperback, and Kindle.
This is The Gala Show. I'm your reporter on the beat, Gala Avery. On this episode, you may know my guest as an anthropologist of Los Angeles brick and mortar, a man around town planning all sorts of screenings and swaps, or as a writer who shares his love for VHS and physical media. But here on The Gala Show, I simply know him as VHS spectacular Connor Holt. Hey, Connor.
Hi, Gala. That is a very kind introduction. Thank you so much.
You know how I feel about you. Like, whenever I see your stuff on Instagram, I'm like, first off, how is Connor everywhere all at once?
I don't sleep very much. I feel like I spend all my day, because I work nights, so I drive around all day, do a lot of things as much as I can, and then work all night, and then sleep for a few hours and do it all again.
And do you just like randomly stumble upon places like brick and mortar? Because that's my favorite thing when I see on your Instagram. One, I loved that Halloween festival. Like, that was one of like the most fun things.
Yeah, like, in Anaheim.
But I love it, like, when you're like, here's this store that just like happens to be here.
I definitely, if I'm going somewhere for another reason, I'll definitely Google, all right, if I'm in the area, what else is around here? I'll look for places. But sometimes I'll always be driving down the street and I'll see a sign that says video or books, and I'll just do a U-turn and pull in. And sometimes it's closed, been closed for decades, but sometimes it's open and I'll go in and check around. And I just kind of try to keep my eyes open for anything around the city.
See, I love that. It's like one of my favorite things when it pops up on my feed. So before we bring up the topic for today, I have a question for you. So you and I both can agree that physical media is really important. I mean, yeah. Both as an archival tool and then also to hold on to our culture so that things just don't slip through the cracks. Mm-hmm. But I have to ask, out of all the physical media choices, because there's vinyl, there's laser discs, there's Betamax, what drew you to VHS?
It's definitely a lot of factors, mostly nostalgia is a huge thing. It's definitely the format I grew up with. Being a 90s kid, it was always part of my life. So like, yeah, I missed out on Betamax, which is before my time. And then it definitely became a thing later in life. You know, for years, I kind of like, oh, I moved to DVD. But then as I got older, like, oh, I realized I wanted to get back to the nostalgia. But also I started realizing how many films were still only on VHS.
Isn't that crazy?
And it's crazy.
It's so crazy.
It's just insane. There's so much. And there's also just there's a fun, like I said, the aspect of history. Even if the film is available on DVD, there's something to be said about, oh wow, this is how it originally was released. This is how, if I had gotten this film in 1992, this is the only way to watch it. That's an interesting way to preserve, how to see, kind of recapture the past. Like, I love collecting anime tapes, and
yeah.
I loved experiencing, okay, yeah, of course I want to watch the Blu-ray of this, this great film, but there's something to be said about, this is how, if I was an anime fan, 1994, this is the only way to watch it. And in the English dub, no subtitles version. So it's kind of like I'm reliving an experience of what could have been or what was.
That's also why dubs are so nostalgic for me personally, yeah. Is because that's the way that I first saw it. And so when people do that whole like sub versus mm-hmm. dub argument, I'm like, well, hold on a second. I love dubs because they're done with love and care. Mm-hmm. And that's how I first saw it. So it's really nostalgic for me. So
yeah, I think it's, you know, as always, like, the point isn't that, like me, is not which is better, Blu-ray or DVD versus VHS, sub versus dub. It's more like, if it exists, we should preserve it. Then we can talk about it and we can debate it if you prefer one or the other. But we should always make sure to try and preserve these things. And right now, there's so many things that are on VHS that we have to preserve, because every day it seems like there's a new film that gets, oh, first time on Blu-ray. Great. I love that. But we got to keep preserving the tapes, even if the film does come out, because there's a certain factor of how a VHS looks and feels that
and
people
the
want.
Stickers. I love the stickers.
Oh, God, the video store stickers.
Favorite thing. Actually, yeah. Whenever I'm collecting a tape online, like sometimes for the podcast, I am lucky enough to like reach out to tape collectors in Los Angeles for video archives to like try to source the tapes immediately so I can watch them on VHS. But I'm oftentimes on eBay and I get to see all the stickers. And if a tape has stickers, I'm buying it.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I prefer used tapes. I like tapes that have stickers. If they have creases and rough corners, that's great for me because that means it has a history, that has life to it. I'm definitely not part of the whole sealed tape thing. Because, like, yeah, that's interesting. Like, I guess if you really want, if you like the perfection of it, but I love when a tape has life, when it has history. That means someone loved this tape, and that means something, I think.
I totally agree. So, as always, my guest gets to bring their topic to the mic. So, Connor, why don't you tell us what your topic is and why you decided to choose it?
Well, Gala, my topic is pirate movies.
Ooh, yay!
Because they are very important in my life, and I don't talk about it very often, so I'm very excited to get into it. But first, time for a commercial break.
I might be vegetarian, but that doesn't mean I can't enjoy a good spice rub. My favorite place to get them is Smoked Bros, a veteran-owned and operated business that sells premium handcrafted dry rubs, spice blends, and seasonings. Guys, you can even put it on your popcorn. My favorites are Honey Badger, because he doesn't give a bleep, and jelly and peanut flavor topping, because some things just taste better together. The website even has recipes, so go check out smokedbros.com to support a veteran-owned and operated business and fill your cabinet with delicious flavor.
And we're back.
You heard it here, pirate movies. So 30 minutes on the clock and our time starts now. So why are pirate movies important to you?
Well, I was thinking about this. I think when you're a kid, there's a lot of like these like kind of archetypal topics that if you're a kid, you get interested in. You know, there's pirates, there's cowboys, there's knights in shiny armor.
Yeah.
So you kind of dinosaurs. So you kind of pick one of those, I feel, when you're a kid and you get obsessed with it. So for me, I liked all those other things, but pirates was the one thing I got really obsessed with.
So like when I was watching, so Connor kind of gave me like a little list of like pirate movies and it was funny. I actually went to Be Kind Video and I was looking through their $5 section and I found pirate movies. So I was just pulling them and then I told Connor which ones I got and he was like, oh my God, you have to watch Cutthroat Island. Yes. If you don't watch any other movie, watch Cutthroat Island. So that's the one I watched.
Yes. So Cutthroat Island is the infamous movie bomb of the 90s, the Gina Davis, Rennie Harlan pirate epic. And that's a history of pirate films. There's a lot of bombs in the history of pirate films. But that was the one that I didn't see in the theaters, but my dad got it for me because he knew I liked pirate movies. He said, hey, Connor, I bought you this tape. And I just became obsessed with it. I watched it over and over again. I even like decorated like I had a little Cutthroat Island like corner of my room kind of, you know, because it's just that one for me works so well because it has all the things you want. It's got the thrills. It's got the action. It's got a hunt for buried treasure. It's just so archetypally fun because I watched another one that I hadn't seen for this podcast, which is Polanski's Pirates, which also tries to capture that, but just comes off as very boring.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Like, I've heard that it's so boring. And one of the things I think is interesting about pirate movies, because I wouldn't say I'm a pirate movie fan, but I'm an adventure movie fan.
Mm.
And I feel like all pirate movies should be adventure movies, yeah, but exactly. Not all adventure movies are pirate movies. Because like The Goonies, for example, I don't know if I would consider that a pirate movie, but there is like a pirate ship at the end where there's like a buried treasure and they go on an adventure to try to get it. And so for me, it's like, I love that aspect of like, let's all go on this crazy adventure and find a buried treasure. That's one of my favorite things. And specifically in Cutthroat Island, I love that the treasure is just like costume jewelry. Like,
oh, sure.
They're not trying to like make it look like, hey, real.
They were already over budget. They couldn't afford to get their treasure. It's great though, because like, you know, when they get to it, it's on a little rock in the middle of a underground cavern surrounded by water. It's a great visual look to it. The cast is really fun. I love Cutthroat Island so much.
Yeah. Well, like the thing also is because like if I was thinking of like other adventure movies that are not pirate movies, like Romancing the Stone. Is not or like Indiana Jones. Like that's an adventure movie
Indiana
where they're
Jones.
Trying to get treasure, but they're not pirates.
The Mask of Zorro, you know, like, yeah, like, definitely, yeah, because, you know, like, I guess, like, I've seen reviews like, yeah, pirate movies and cowboy films, they're the same thing essentially, just guns versus swords, you know, or like, Zorro uses like rapiers, you know, like it's all about just, you're right, there's usually a quest, there's a villain to defeat, and there, usually there's some kind of treasure to find.
And they should be pirates, and they should be on the water, because I saw this, like, what the criteria of a pirate movie is. Like, okay, for you, Connor, what is, like, the perfect pirate movie? Like, what would it contain within it?
Well, I was thinking, like, kind of definitely the archetypal pirate story is Treasure Island, which is my favorite book. And that kind of sets the template for all great pirate adventures. It's usually, you know, there's usually buried treasure, and there's usually, you know, there's this, the hardened sea dogs. And oftentimes, you are kind of told from the, kind of this innocent point of view, who kind of gets sucked into it, and then hero. But because if you're telling this, you know, Cuthbert Island is kind of interesting because the main character is a pirate. Because usually, if a pirate movie, the pirates are not good people, and in real life they died. So usually, you want to have like the main character be this innocent person, because you really shouldn't be idolizing the pirate. But Cuthbert Island, like, nah. Gina Davis is awesome. She's great.
Well, she was also married to the director at the time. So.
Oh, yeah. It was really written to be the main character was Shaw. And then when they came aboard, it's like, nah, we're going to make a Gina Davis the main character, which I think is great. Because there are so many great examples of female pirates throughout history. So it's actually very accurate to have a female pirate movie.
And I also like that in specifically that movie that it's like a father-daughter. And then like the father dies and like his scalp is like part of the map. That's another thing about pirate movies is that there's always like a map. They have to like assemble the map. And then that's part of the adventure. And then there's always also like, I like when there's a love story.
Mm-hmm.
I like when there's, and I found the love story in Cutthroat Island very endearing.
I think they're great together. Jane Davis and Matthew Modine are very charming together.
Matthew Modine is so handsome in it.
Yeah, he looks great. I mean, he's kind of got this kind of like, you know, rapscallion energy to him. Like you feel like he could betray her any moment, but there's certain this chemistry, like he can't deny the whole, like, you know, they're hanging from the rope. We'll split the treasure. 60-40.
That was my favorite part.
No, 50-50. Okay, fine. We're about to die. That was my I'm still favorite. Want 60-40, though.
So is that your favorite pirate movie?
Like, that one is so big for me. But another one, of course, is Hook, which is also Peter Pan is a major foundational pirate story as well.
That's what I was going to say is, like, when I was, like, thinking about it last night, I was thinking, okay, Peter Pan is a pirate movie, technically. And I also think it's interesting because Peter Pan, when I was really racking my brain about it, Peter Pan is one of, like, the only Disney movies kind of told from like the boy's perspective. Mm. I know that Wendy is like the main character or is one of
them. Sure, yeah.
But it's titled Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not titled Wendy. And
well, it's cool. Originally the play was called Peter Pan and Wendy. Yeah. So like there is isn't like it is supposed to be kind of a dual hander.
A dual thing.
But definitely Peter is like the image everyone thinks about.
Yeah, and I was trying to think of like other Disney movies that like have like kind of men like at their like demographic. I guess Cars.
Black Cauldron.
Yeah, Black Cauldron.
I also like a lot.
I love Black Cauldron, man. And then there were like Pixar kind of has more, I think.
Yeah, Pixar did the buddy films. They love doing the buddy films.
Yeah, but so, I think Peter Pan is kind of like one of the only like Disney, and I guess it's pirates. And pirates, are pirates a man?
Yeah, because, and that's also kind of the case where you, so the pirates are the villains. So you can have, Peter and Wendy are kind of the innocents who come in. They fight the pirates. Because someone's like, on the one hand, you want to be a pirate, but also you want to fight pirates. So it's kind of this dueling energy of what you want to do with if you love pirate stuff. But that one, you know, because that one is definitely the archetypal, the captain, the big red coat with the hook. And
the
crew. Yeah, exactly. The crocodile and walking the plank. That's from Peter Pan. So that's such an archetypal thing as well. And then Hook, if you're a millennial, Hook is this foundational movie that only millennials understand. Everyone else hates it, but I love it. And it definitely, even though it's sort of a sequel to Peter Pan, you still get Hook looks amazing in his red coat.
Is it told from the perspective of the pirate? As a millennial who totally missed out on
Hook.
You
missed Hook, wow. Missed Hook. Well, I didn't see him in theaters. I was too young. But because it's a whole movie that Peter Pan has grown up. Then Hook, like, kind of he kidnaps his kids and he has to go back to Neverland and, like, fight Hook one last time. So you have Robin Williams as an older Peter Pan who has to remember to be Peter Pan. And that's always a complaint that, it takes too long to get into the costume. But once he gets in the costume, it's so much fun because you've earned that. That the length of the movie earns it. So when he gets in the costume again, like, yes, he did it. He finally got it. And Dustin Hoffman's phenomenal. And it's actually the same costume designer as Polanski's Pirates. So they both look terrific costume-wise. But Hook definitely has this great energy. You know, maybe a little dated because like the Lost Boys skateboards.
Dustin Hoffman plays Hook.
He's Hook.
I didn't know
he's incredible.
That. I've seen this cover exactly. And this image so many times. And until you just said Dustin Hoffman, even with his name on the front,
it's an insane casting because he's so good. And he completely.
Okay, I'm gonna throw this on tonight. I'm throwing this on.
Oh,
tonight.
Oh, Hook, yes, and Rufio, iconic millennial hero. Thank you, Dante Bosco.
Wow. And so it's the same costume designer as Pirates.
Yeah. So and they look very similar. They have the great, the Pirates have these great flowing outfits. And there's also like, there's texture to it. Now, even Hook has great texture. Even though it was built on a set and it's a lavish thing, but the Pirates feel dirty. Like, I like that energy of like, it doesn't feel like Cuthbert Island. There's sweat, there's grime, which is also like, it's weird how like, as much as I love pirate films, it took me a long time to watch like Captain Blood, mm-hmm. which is the famous Errol Flynn film, which kind of kicked off the whole pirate craze in the 30s and 40s. And like, it's a great film. I've watched it now and it's great. But when I was a kid, like, oh, they look too clean. Why are the pirates all clean? Because it's a studio film from the 30s, kind of. That's why. But like, I'm not going to watch it. It's not realistic. So it took me a long time to get over that desire for realism in my mind.
So what is this other tape he brought today? Because you brought two. He brought Cutthroat Island and then this other one.
That's the thing. It's also because you mentioned Goonies. Like, I didn't see Goonies as a kid.
Really?
I don't know why. It seems like the perfect film for me. Honestly, it's about kids finding pirate treasure. I don't know why.
Wow.
But I think part of it is because I found another movie as a kid about kids finding pirate treasure. The 1990s, like, straight-to-video kind of knockoff. Which, I don't know if that's true, if that's what the filmmaker intended. But it's a film called Treasure of Pirates Point. I found this at my local Hollywood video store. And I would rent it all the time. And I rewatched it now, and it's, yeah, it's a straight-to-video film from the 90s with all that entails.
It literally says, if you liked Goonies, Hook, and Peter Pan, you'll love Treasure of Pirates Point.
There you go. See?
Ahoy, matey.
So it's about these three kids in this small town who find out the old mysterious old guy who lives on the beach is the great-great-grandson of Charles Vane, a real pirate. And they decide to find out more about him and where he's buried, the family treasure. It's corny, it's cheesy.
I love this, though, because it's like, in the meantime, they learn that friendship is the most precious treasure of all.
The friends made on the way. but the main kid is this kid who's obsessed with pirates, and he wears pirate t-shirts. And like, yeah, that was my goal as a kid, to be that kid. That kid is my hero.
So you saw this, and you were like, I love this. And so this is like a seminal childhood movie.
Sure, yeah. Like, and I didn't watch it for years. Because it may be online, but it was, you know, it's a forgotten movie. No one remembers this.
Well, it's even in like a cut box.
But yeah, so when Odyssey Video in NoHo closed a few years ago, they were selling off all they still rented VHS tapes. So I went in there and they were selling them off now. And I found out, oh my God, you have a copy of Treasure of Pirates Point. So now I have a copy. It's not the one I watched as a kid, but it's also a video store copy that feels right for me.
It does feel right for you. Okay, so when I was looking online, because I was like, what are pirate movies? I was like thinking of course, Peter Pan I thought of.
Yeah.
I found some interesting ones. Mm. Castle in the Sky.
You're right. Like, that's also when, like, you're right, you have, like you said, adventure films. So you have sky pirates and space pirates.
Yeah, okay, like space, like Treasure Planet.
Treasure Planet. I love Treasure Planet.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating example because it's still Treasure Island, but they make some really good changes and some smart, like they age up Jim Hawkins from like a 12-year-old to like a 16-year-old. And that's a really interesting choice. Like, it makes him more of a, because Jim Hawkins, the book is a great book, but he's kind of a passive narrator. He just watches what happens. By making Jim older, you make him into this troubled teen who's more of an engaged protagonist. So actually, it's a really good adaptation.
Yeah.
But Castle in the Sky, you got sky pirates in like this sort of like airplanes. Steampunk fantasy world. That's so much fun. You've got Porco Rosso has the flying pirates too.
Flying pirates, yeah. So I think it's really interesting that it's like the pirate, like for a pirate movie to be a pirate movie, you don't need a ship. You just need a vehicle.
Yeah, it was essentially because, you know, piracy still exists today in real life.
Like, you could have an internet pirate movie now,
or you know, the whole thing with Captain Phillips is a pirate movie.
Piracy is not a victimless crime, you guys.
The would you steal a car? Would you download a movie? Pirates.
Yeah, but Captain Phillips, okay, this is like one thing I was thinking about pirate movies. It's kind of like we've lost pirate movies, and I'm just gonna make an argument. So when I'm watching Cutthroat Island, and we've kind of lost adventure movies, like I think adventure movies and pirate movies are a genre that's on the decline, unfortunately. And I think it's just because it's like a really fun romp, and I don't think that adventure movies take themselves so seriously. Case in point, like the gold and the treasure is just like costume jewelry. It's like at the end, like
it's just fun.
And like it is the friends that we make along the way. It is the journey that you have that is the adventure. And I don't know if like audiences have become more cynical or if studios have, but like, do we get adventure movies anymore?
Well, like we do have the Pirates of the Caribbean films, and that was the first one came out when I was 12. It was perfect timing.
The first one was great.
And they kept making them, like, each one gets worse. But, like, that first one, like, because the pirate films, like, famously, Cutthroat Island, Pirates, the Monty Python spinoff, Yellowbeard, all flops. And yeah, sure, Hook was a success, but it was a Peter Pan thing, so it wasn't quite a straight up pirate movie. So that one, but the critics didn't like it, but it made money. But then Pirates of the Caribbean comes along after all these years, finally is a hit, nominated for Oscars, people love it, and they make sequels, but we haven't made any other, there's no other like pirate knockoffs.
Yeah.
It feels like all the energy that went into that went into superhero films. I feel like we kind of like that, we decided that was the popcorn adventure film of the post 2000s.
Yeah, so but here's my problem kind of with like the adventure movie being transferred over to superhero films. Okay, I'll come out and say I'm not a huge Marvel fan. I think no one's surprised by that. I think that like I don't really like CGI that much, and that's one of the things I appreciate about the early pirate movies is that they're still doing a lot of practical. In like Pirates of the Caribbean, there is definitely CGI in Pirates of the Caribbean, but I feel like the less practical we have, the less it feels like an adventure movie to me. I don't know if that makes sense.
I think you're right. I think you want that tactility. I think that's a big part of it. Same with like horror films. It feels scarier when it feels tactile, when it feels real.
Oh my God, yeah.
So I think the audiences notice. Even superhero films, the early ones in the 2000s, the costumes were still physical.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're all CG costumes. Like, it feels weird to watch it. Like, I can't tell if this is just a green screen or this is just an animatronic mocap model. Like, what is this? Like,
no, it's it. I don't even know if the actors are even acting. Like, I always say, like, the characters that have the masks on, they're more voice actors now than anything because it's like, are they even in the suit? I don't know. But it's just, it's very strange to me. And I feel like when it displaces, I lose that adventure quality because it's like, as you said, like, you want to be the person. It's like, oh, I want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't connect when it's not real. Have you seen, speaking of horror movies, because you brought up When Evil Lurks?
I haven't yet. Oh, I've heard very good things.
It's really scary.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I was really scared.
A lot of times the horror films, like, inevitably, I like films that have good, like, vibes and, like I love Sleepy Hollow. It's a great kind of gothic feel to it. Because yeah, it's hard to get a good, really scary horror film that lingers beyond the theater.
No, I was scared when I came home. And I can't remember. I think it was that movie. No, it was, I went to go see Saw Patrol, so I saw Saw. And I had never seen any Saw movie.
Oh, really? You just jumped into Saw X?
I thought, Connor, listen to this. I thought that Billy was, like, a sentient puppet, like in Puppet Master.
I saw Saw years ago, and then when Spiral came out, my friend Carlos and I, we binge-watched all the Saw films. And that was an experience because it is so wild to watch them all back to back because there's so many ridiculous twists and turns.
The first is so good.
The first Saw is good. It's a good, like, it went to Sundance. It's a good, like, low budget, well made horror film. But they kept rewriting the chronology, and then like, because yeah, there's Billy at the, because essentially Billy is there to, he's meant to be like, you don't know who the real guy behind Billy is. But then we know who he is by the end of the first movie. It's like, why is Billy still here? Well, because people like Billy. He looks cool. Also, so there's John Kramer and there's Billy. Also, there's the pig masks. Like, what's with the pig? Where did that come from? I don't know. But, oh my God.
Matt's mortuary was researching it for me afterwards because I was like, what the heck is going on? He's like, apparently Billy is supposed to be like the toy that he made his dead wife's child.
The one that was killed by a drug addict.
Yep. Like in a car crash or something like that, and his wife died, and the baby died. Yeah, and this, have you seen the new movie? Newest one?
Okay, I liked it.
Apparently it's like a throwaway line in like in between the first and second movie. Oh, like when he went to Mexico, and so they made an entire movie.
They did say, oh, okay, so I don't remember that.
Like, I
gotta rewatch them again. Yeah. Gotta do another marathon.
You gotta do it, but I don't know. But that movie actually, I don't know, I wasn't so into it. It took too long for me to get into it. And I wanted more Billy.
It definitely felt like it's a different tone than the other ones because it feels like it's made for the fans who love John Kramer, so they're okay with it taking a long time. But if it's the first film, it's a weird first film.
It was weird, and I literally was like, where is the puppet? Because I thought the puppet was the villain. I like literally thought it was like a little puppet that tortured people. Well,
I just watched Child's Play for the first time. So
really?
You already have the ultimate puppet horror films. They didn't need to make that with Saw. Like, they already have the ultimate puppet
horror. Did you like Child's
Play? I did, yeah. Oh. I'm weird with horror films. This is a tangent, but like I'm very bad with horror. I don't watch a lot of horror film sequels.
Is it because they're scary or is
no? I just think I always like watch the first one and then I never watch the sequels. They're never gonna be as good as the first one.
I normally don't either. I mean, Child's Play 2 though. I think it's called Child's Play 2. The second one, I love it because Garrett Graham is in it. Oh. And he's a Star Trek actor. So like Brad Dourif, who voices the puppet, is also in Star Trek. He's in one episode. Oh, but fun. In my opinion, he's a Star Trek actor.
Who hasn't been on Star Trek?
I know, right? and Garrett Graham is also a Star Trek actor. He's in one episode where he plays Quinn, the other Q. So, I love Child's Play because it has Star Trek actors in it. Like, that's why I love it. But do you have – because I don't normally watch like horror sequels either. So, like, do you have like a horror franchise that's like your favorite?
Not exactly. Like, I guess Saw next. That's the only one I've seen all the sequels to.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But speaking of TV, though, we have pirate films. We have a pirate TV show right now. We have Our Flag Means Death. Have you seen that at all?
No, I have. What? Where is it?
It's like, on Max. But this is a pirate show based on the true story of Stede Bonnet was a wealthy landowner who got bored, had a midlife crisis, making a pirate. And he met up with Blackbeard.
Really?
And they basically take that premise, which is a true premise, and they spin it off into this hilarious queer love story between Stede Bonnet and Blackbeard, which is phenomenal. It's so funny. You've got Taika Waititi as Blackbeard, dressed like Mad Max.
And does it work?
Like, yeah. But it's fascinating because on the one hand, it's very loose with details, rewriting things all the time. But on the other hand, it has like cameos from real pirates, like Anne Bonny and Mary Read are in it. They're real pirates. I'm like, oh my God, you put them in the show? This is so great. Like, I have no idea if they met in real life, but know what? It's fine. It's great.
It's just the what if of pirates.
Yeah, it's the ultimate like who's who of pirates all hanging out in one TV show.
You know, actually, I should tell you, I'm actually related to a pirate.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's Long Ben Henry Avery.
Long Ben Avery.
Yeah, who was a pirate who like,
yes.
Apparently he had a chest and there was like a princess, an Indian princess inside the chest. And like, it's not sure if they fell in love or like if he went away, but yeah, it's my family lineage.
No one knows where he died.
He may have died with no money, but he may have buried his treasure.
Oh,
so
you're related to him.
I'm related. Holy very shit. Distant. I know
this
I'm
is gonna... literally the all right this is Treasure Pirates Point real life right now.
You are the little boy now.
Where is the treasure, Gala? Oh, where is it?
My scalp map.
And what's it called? Now I have to defeat an evil used car salesman to who's trying to evict you.
Is that really that's what the plot story? Of the movie.
Evil really? Used car salesman who's dating my mom. Damn him.
Oh my God. Okay, so one movie that I saw on this letterbox list that was like the definitive list of pirate movies, and here is my criteria. And then they said. And one movie that's on here that's not a pirate movie, probably, but I'm putting on here anyway, Master and Commander.
Oh, you're right. For, like, arguably, like, the greatest nautical movie of all time. And that one is not, it's not, it's not, not, it's, you know, it's a war movie. It's a naval war movie. So, like, to, you know, like, about a British ship versus a French ship. And to each other, they'd be like, you know, in the sense, it's a war, but they're kind of like privateers, which is the... Privateers were just pirates who were licensed by the government to go attack ships of our enemy during a wartime. So they're essentially privateers, but it's also they're naval officers.
But they're
so
not pirates.
They're not pirates, but it is like for a movie set on a boat. It is the most incredibly like detailed and authentic. It feels like you're on that ship. The acting is great.
Well, Peter Weir is just an amazing director, yeah. And I also think that this. Master and Commander is finally getting its comeuppance.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the wrong term. I don't know if comeuppance is the right way to put it.
The new Bev screening coming up.
Bev screening's coming up. I think they played it somewhere because it's like the anniversary right now.
Yeah, I think it's 20th anniversary this year. So, like, it was not my best picture, so it wasn't ignored, but you're right. It did feel like it's kind of, it keeps kind of cropping, like, hey, you know what's a really good film? Master and Commander. That's a really good movie. And every year it gets bigger and bigger. But
and it deserves. We
never see a sequel. But.
So, do you think the pirate genre now is just kind of relegated to television?
Well, I think it definitely, you know, because it's tough because it is such a huge financial bargain. Risk to make a pirate thing because you have to have a ship. And, like, Our Flag Means Death uses green screen. That definitely helps. But, like, if you want to shoot it on the water, that's so hard to do. And then now you have... Oh, you do have, what's it called? Even anime has pirates. You have One Piece,
One Piece, and One Piece is the biggest anime in Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone should remember, like, here in the U.S., it's Naruto, or was Naruto. Mm-hmm. I think One Piece is One Piece is kind of getting its U.S. thing. My brother, okay, so shout out to my brother, Ever. He is an OG One Piece fan. He has been reading it weekly since 2006. Oh, wow. he reads it in three different ways. He reads the rough photo they take, like immediately when it gets happened. He reads the scan, and then he reads the translation. And he's like watched in like three different languages.
Does he like the live action though?
Oh my God, he loves the live action. Okay,
so now the live action is like a whole new audience.
He loves it. And he, I finally got a hold of it. And so he, I gave it to him first and I said, if you like it, we'll all watch it together. Mm. And he watched it and he's like, this is amazing. He said, it's so faithful. And I'm not used to Netflix having like super faithful adaptations.
Oh yeah.
But Oda-san was involved directly into it.
That's good.
And they're going to do season two. But did you watch it?
I haven't. I've never really dived into One Piece. Like, I'm aware of it, but like, I've not dived because it just seems so daunting.
That's the thing is, so I like don't know anything about it besides like my brother. He'll like sometimes read a chapter and he'll cry because he's so excited. Like,
I heard that.
People it's so obsessed. It's so beautiful. but I've never seen it. And so like, I was always like nervous, like, where do I start? Like, I want to connect with my brother on this thing that he loves so much, but I have no clue what to do with it. So I think this Netflix show might really be
I feel like people are saying you can watch that. You can just dive in and watch that because it starts in the beginning. So like, if you are unsure about getting into what you could start with the live action. And then if you love that, go back and watch the show.
Yeah, so we kind of have like that pirate. That pirate show, and then we have the other pirate show.
Maybe this is a beginning. Maybe this in 5 years we'll have tons of pirate stuff again.
Well, okay. What about this Cowboy Bebop?
I know.
So, would you consider that though to be a pirate show?
They're bounty hunters, which I guess is kind of like a subsection, like overlaps, because they're like they definitely kind of like a, you know, I think they run into pirates maybe in the show once or twice, but like they're technically bounty hunters, they're which is kind of like privateers, sort of. You know, it's a variation on privateers.
They're more like cowboys, though, because it's like space cowboys.
They have the, in some way, like I said, cowboys and pirates kind of overlap. They're all, you know, cowboy films usually are about the good guys, essentially, taking on the bandits. But you could say pirate films, you could make a pirate film about, like, a naval officer taking on the pirates, because that happened many times in real life. There were the men who were, like, tasked by the government would go out to, you know, the Bahamas and Nassau and take care of these pirates.
So do you
there should be a film. I don't know why I never make it a film.
But I know, right? So do you also like love like true pirate history? Or is it just pirate movies?
Oh yeah. I there's a very famous book Under the Black Flag, which is a very big book in the 90s about pirate history. And then I also a film I love is this documentary called Pirate Tales, which is this documentary made for Turner Channel. That was made in the 90s about pirate history, about the true stories. And I watched the library and I rented all the time in the library and then I couldn't find it for years. So I finally emailed the director. I found his email like, hey, do you have a copy of this? Like, he replied, how did you see this? Like, this only aired like once or twice. Well, my library had a copy. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'll send you a copy then. So I finally got to watch it again for all these years. Like, oh my God, I remember all the words to this. I used to watch it so many times. Because yeah, like, pirate history is so fascinating. The characters and the weird details, you know, often very bloody and violent, lots of murder, lots of terrible things, but it's fascinating to read as a kid. It's a unique world. And I wish I had a better stomach for sailing. So I like sailing, but I always throw up. So
you get sick.
It's definitely kind of like, if only I could sail more, but I can't.
But would you want to become a pirate?
That's Connor? The thing. Like you always like, you know, it's like, it's, I think, you know, Peter Pan's the ultimate example. Like, cause like, you know, the Lost Boys are going, being a pirate sounds cool. Then they meet the pirates like, oh no, this is dangerous. I don't want to do this anymore. Cause there is kind of this, it sounds nice. But then you read about, the scurvy.
Oh, the scurvy. And, the scurvy's always
lose
what
a leg. And then you have to peg leg,
and then your name is like Peg Leg Connor for the rest of your life.
Exactly, that doesn't sound great. But then also, like, pirates usually had a career of like 2 years. Then they were killed. Like, they don't last very long. There were no old pirates. They died.
I never even thought about that. Like, pirates had a career in the span of two years.
Yeah, Blackbeard only had a career like 2 years.
What? Really?
He was killed then. He was too famous.
My childhood, it's like you hear Blackbeard and you think he's like a pirate. I know people didn't live like as long as they do now, but you think Blackbeard was like a pirate for like 40 years.
No,
like he's
no.
a career pirate.
Well, it's like, and once again, like, pirates are horrible things, but like, they were often men who were forced into the Navy against their will. They had no other career options. They were under terrible captains in the Navy. So they kind of like, you know, screw this. I'm going to become a pirate. I don't want to take orders from you anymore. And yeah, they're going to go commit a life of crime. And then they were hunted down for it. But like, if you were, you know, an illiterate sailor at that time, your options were to be under a terrible Navy where you'd be beaten for not bowing to your naval captain, or you become a pirate. And neither one's great, really.
So I always love asking this question when it's like, I ask this question like about superheroes usually. Oh, what kind of superhero would you be? But Connor, if you were a pirate, what kind of pirate would you be? I'm sure you've thought about this.
Yes, well, there's the one good pirate. There's a very famous story of Black Sam Bellamy. He was a pirate who he did it for the love of a woman. He wanted to make his fortune, so he became a pirate to get the money to buy her a proper house and a proper ring. And if he was apparently a very noble pirate, when he raided a slave ship, he set the slaves free. He tried not to kill as many people as possible, but then he died in a famous shipwreck right after. Basically, he was sailing home to her, and the night before he landed, he died in the shipwreck.
No,
this is a true story.
Really?
Yeah.
Has there been a movie?
Never been a movie. What? It's an incredible story. And luckily, the Witta, the shipwreck, it was found. And it's preserved now. So there's a museum in Cape Cod that has it.
So you can go to Cape Cod and see. Have you done that?
I haven't done that. There was a museum in Key West I went to years ago that had a lot of stuff. And I have seen the artifacts because that museum did a tour across the country. So I have seen, like, the ship's bell is preserved. It's like one of the only shipwrecks we have a lot of artifacts from, because he literally crashed right off the coast.
Wow.
Yeah. Incredible story.
That is incredible. Yeah. I mean,
he's the one good, like, he's the one noble pirate.
Of course you're going to be the one noble pirate. Meanwhile, I'm going to be like scurvy Gala on the high seas, like slashing my way through. Oh,
well, Blackbeard is iconic because Blackbeard's the famous one. Like, yeah, it's in the show even. Like, Blackbeard shot the leg off his first mate just to remind him who was captain. He's the pirate who let. Fuses under his beard to scare his enemies. So he looked like Satan himself was boarding the ship.
Honestly, let's be real. Okay, that would be even worse than being under a naval captain. Being under Blackbeard.
Oh, yeah, so, exactly.
Like, that poor pirate that's like, I'm going to get away from my naval captain. I'm going to go under Blackbeard. Like,
oh, no. This is far worse.
That is literally the worst. So what can we do to, like, bring pirate movies back, Connor?
I don't know. What's like, the option? I think we need, like, well, you know what?
One of my
favorite pirate movies is Muppet Treasure Island. I'm pretty sure it's the first one I saw.
I think a lot of people saw it in theaters.
I love that movie. So maybe we need to do another Muppet pirate movie.
That'd be so
maybe
fun.
That's what we need.
Muppet puppets.
Muppets and pirates worked so great last time.
And also, it's so cute. Like Five Nights at Freddy, but like Muppet. Muppet pirate edition.
Or a Muppet horror film. I guess we have Meet the Feebles, and also, like, what was it? You know, it's like, I don't know, but like, you're right. What can we do, like, new pirate stuff that hasn't been done before? I think we should do more based on true story pirate films.
Like that wonderful one that you just
shared. Yeah, I think there are so many great true stories of pirates that I never got a real adaptation. I think a real movie biopic treatment that would be very interesting as a film.
That is all the time that we have for today. But Connor, is there any final thought that you would like to share with the audience?
My main thing is just definitely watch Cuthbert Island. There's a new 4K Blu-ray just came out with new interviews that I was so happy
about.
Oh, really?
So they have new special features.
Ballyhoo Motion Pictures did special features. I'm so thankful, because it's one of those films, like, I just thought, oh, this is never going to get a special edition. And, like, because Hook doesn't have a special edition. Like, Hook...
Hook doesn't have a special edition?
Doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't like it. He says he was very disappointed in the film, and now Robin Williams has died. So, come on, guys. Let's do a special edition of Hook with, like, get all the Lost Boys together, do a commentary track. Let's do this, because these films are wonderful and the craft is so good. Like, let's talk to the costume designers and the set designers, because it's so incredible to look at these films. Like, when they spent money on these films, like Cuthbert Island, The Hook, Muppet Treasure Island, they look incredible.
I think also I'm just going to mirror that sentiment for any creatives that are listening that have movies that don't have special features. Please provide special features for your DVDs. We are in a drought right now of special features where they're just regurgitating the same old stuff. And even if you've told your story before, sometimes just telling it again brings up new and interesting things. So please give us special features.
Even like you make your own commentary track and put it on YouTube, fine. Just like please record your thoughts, like, because you never know. Sadly, we want these stories to be preserved. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Thank you, Connor, for coming on to the show. If you'd like to keep up with Connor, head on over to his Instagram at @VHS_spectacular.
Thank you so much.
I'm Gala Avery, and this has been The Gala Show. The Gala Show is brought to you by Insertomatic. This episode was executive produced by Roger Avery and produced by Gala Avery. Music composed by Andy Milburn. As always, I'm your host, Gala Avery. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved. Despite me sharing the same last name with this charity, I don't have any affiliation with it, besides the fact the issue is very near and dear to my heart. Did you know that in the United States, 2.7 million children currently have a parent in prison, and it's estimated that 10 million children have experienced parental incarceration at some point in their lives? I was one of these kids, and as an adult, I am really grateful to be able to give back to Project Avery. Their mission is to build leadership from within by supporting community through programs such as mentoring and outdoor education, and also to remove the stigma surrounding having a parent that's incarcerated. You don't have to feel alone. If you know a kid who could use these resources or would like to donate money or time to the charity, please go to Project Avery, that's AVARY.org, to check out what this amazing charity is all about. Again, that's ProjectAvery.org. Thank you guys, from the bottom of my heart.